Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
Thank you for staying tuned. There's a half hour left of this version of Your Turn, the program that I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. My name's Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. To learn more about my organization, please visit our website at www.cfif.org. Joining me now is John Tabin. He's a contributing editor to the American Spectator magazine, and he's coming on to talk with us about a troubling decision, at least it's troubling from my perspective and probably many Americans, that came out last week by the U.S. Supreme Court, 5-4 majority decision, very split Supreme Court, some very strong dissents in this case, and it's the case that involves enemy combatants and giving them U.S. constitutional rights. John Tabin, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Renee.
Before we start, let me ask you, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and who you work for and how you got to writing for the American Spectator magazine.
Well, I'm a contributor to the magazine. I've been, I just started freelancing and it became a regular gig, and I'm just a contributor. You actually gave me a promotion when you said contributing editor, which I appreciate. But
hey, take it. There you go. Maybe I've got a little crystal ball sitting here on my table, and there you go. But with columns like the ones that you've written, the one that I pulled up, it's called Lord Kennedy. You better hope that that happens, because I don't think you have a job at the Supreme Court.
Oh, no.
Calling
no,
him Lord Kennedy. How can folks learn more? Is this your website, johntabin.com?
Yeah, but it's you'll find it better if you go straight to spectator.org.
Okay, spectator.org. Folks can pull up some of the things which you have written for the American Spectator magazine. The most recent piece, which I'm referring to, probably not your most recent piece, but the one that I recently read, is called Lord Kennedy. Take us through the case first, and then let's talk about your article.
Well, what happened on Thursday, the ruling came down in Boumediene versus Bush, and the ruling basically says that enemy combatants held in Guantanamo Bay, these are people who are captured on the battlefield in Afghanistan or elsewhere, who are now entitled to bring petitions for a writ of habeas corpus, in essence to petition courts to release them, and to do this in the civilian federal district courts. And it's a very, what makes this so shocking to a lot of us is that the court said in a previous case that if Congress put together, Congress couldn't hold these people indefinitely, but if it put together a military tribunal system that was fair to them and could sort them out and give them a chance to appeal and affect their rights to, challenge the accusations, then that would be okay. And as Justice Scalia said in his dissent, after quoting that, it turns out they were just kidding, because four of the justices who joined that opinion also joined this opinion, which now says that this military commission system, which had a system where detainees could challenge their detention before a tribunal, they could appeal the tribunal's ruling to the D.C. Circuit Court. Now, that system, which has never been tried, so it's hard to say that system was unfair somehow. That system's been short-circuited, and these cases are going to go into the civilian court. And what that means is it's going to be harder for the government to make their case, because in the civilian court you can't use things like hearsay, and you can in the military tribunals, which makes it easier when you're capturing people on a battlefield and you don't want to call witnesses as soldiers who are in the field when they capture these people. It means that there's a possibility that intelligence methods, how we get the information that we get, will come out in open court, which has happened before when the World Trade Center bombers were tried in open court. It came out that they were traced through a monitoring of their cell phones, and the entire Al-Qaeda organization, in short order, stopped using cell phones, and it made it more difficult to us.
So essentially, these military tribunals, which had been set up, which you said never had really been tested, already they've been, you know, the door's been closed on those military tribunals. And in essence, with the door being closed on those military tribunals, the reason that what I'm trying to get a better sense of is for everyday Americans, for folks who, you know, don't live near Guantanamo Bay, don't live near these tent cities that hold these combatants, why should we care whether they're tried in a U.S. military tribunal or they are tried through our civil litigation system, and essentially, or our legal system here, the civilian federal court system. And essentially what you're saying is, you know, first and foremost, you know, we may be at greater risk now from an intelligence standpoint because of the evidence that has to be brought into the civilian federal court system versus what had to be brought into a military tribunal. Is that fair to say?
That's correct. And also, there's the fact that even there are about 270 some of these detainees left in Guantanamo. Quite a lot have been released. The military processed and cleared them and released them. And at least 30 of the individuals who the military has released and deemed safe have actually been found committing terrorism against American interests once again. And by making it harder for the government to bring its case, it makes it more likely that will happen, which is why Justice Scalia said that this decision will get Americans killed. That's probably right, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's this as you point out, in an already much-quoted passage, Scalia writes that this decision, quote, will almost certainly cause more Americans to be killed. You further write that he closes his dissent with the assertion that, quote, the nation will live to regret what the court has done today.
Another important thing to understand is the debate between Kennedy's opinion for the majority and Scalia's dissent is largely about whether habeas corpus extends to Guantanamo Bay, because it's a very quirky territory. It's technically part of Cuba, but it's been leased since 1898, so the U.S. has control over it. So the argument is whether there's de facto sovereignty or not, but that's actually, I think Scalia has the better side of that argument, but even if he didn't, the Congress made a good faith effort to give him the equivalent of habeas corpus rights, and what Kennedy said was that if they interpreted the law to give the detainees habeas corpus rights, or the equivalent of habeas corpus rights, then they'd be negating the law. In other words, Congress can't have intended to do what, of course, they did. And Justice Roberts correctly pointed out that this is a catch-22. And in Justice Souter's concurrence, he does quite a bit of whining about how the detainees have been, how these detainees have been detained for 6 years now. But with that overlooks is the fact that the reason they've been detained for 6 years is that they haven't gone through the appeal system that's been set up through the tribunal system to the D.C. Circuit Court. There's never been a tribunal case that was appealed to the D.C. Circuit Court. The lawyers have instead gone to the federal courts, and they've now succeeded in getting their cases into the federal courts.
Well, and I mean, my gosh, I don't know, but I'm not a litigator, but one thing I do know is that the wheels of justice turn very slowly, and I would have to believe that had they gone through the tribunal system, they would have gotten through the tribunal system faster than they're going to get through the civilian federal court system. I mean, what do you think, John?
Well, possibly, but presumably they'd have a harder time proving their case through the tribunal system, which is why the lawyers prefer the civilian system. And what this does is the tribunal system was carefully set up to have an advocate for the detainee be able to look at classified evidence under certain circumstances to work around these delicate issues about how do you try someone without compromising our national security, the balance between liberty and security that's become this great question after 9/11. And what the court's done is it's given the lower courts license to try these cases, but it hasn't given them any guidance about what kind, about how to try these cases, about what kind of evidence to admit. And so district court judges who are not national security experts are essentially going to have to make national security policy on the fly, because they'll have to figure out what, how to answer these petitions for writs of habeas corpus.
Let me ask you this, John. I assume you cover quite a few things going up, going on at the Supreme Court. Is that right?
Yeah, usually when there's an important opinion, I'm the guy who ends up writing about it.
Okay. When are you going to be writing about the Heller decision? Obviously, I mean, some will argue it's the most important decision coming from the court this term, if not this era.
I will certainly be writing about it when it comes down.
Any predictions on when it's coming out? And for folks who don't know, Heller is the Second Amendment case where they're looking at the gun ban in Washington, D.C., whether or not it violates the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. When are they expecting it? A lot of folks thought it would come down this week.
My understanding is the Heller decision will come down sometime in the summer, maybe in the next few weeks, certainly by the end of the summer. And if you want my prediction, I think that the D.C. gun ban itself will be struck down, but probably on narrow grounds, so it affects as few other gun controls as possible. But it's but even gun control advocates are conceding that they're probably not going to win this one, which is good news.
Is it going to be another close 5-4, you think?
I don't know. It's probably, but I don't know for sure. I mean, one thing that is a little underappreciated is Justice John Roberts is very good at finding consensuses, and what the Chief Justice does, his most important job, is assigning opinions, and he's been very good at finding ways to build consensuses, and I mean, obviously in cases like this it's impossible, but it could be a 5-4 split, but it wouldn't surprise me if one of the liberals is picked off and at least concurs partially.
Okay. We are talking with John Tabin. He's a contributing reporter to the American Spectator magazine. We are talking about the decision that came out last week, Thursday, by the U.S. Supreme Court. It's a 5-4 majority decision written by Justice Kennedy, which now allows enemy combatants to have U.S. constitutional rights. Quite a shocking decision. I know some folks who I've talked with at the NRA think actually the Heller decision may follow this most recent decision regarding Guantanamo Bay detainees and be put out this Thursday. Would that surprise you, John?
No, it could be that soon. I mean, I'm sure the NRA is following it closely enough to know exactly when it's coming out. I know the court's schedule vaguely, but it's kind of unpredictable, and I expect that to be usually the more significant cases come out later. But, yeah, it could be this week.
All right. Well, just remember to say you heard it here if it does, okay? John, we need to take a quick break. Can you stay with us through the break?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're talking with John Tabin. Again, he's contributing reporter to the American Spectator magazine. Spectator, is it .org or .com?
.org.
.org. Spectator.org. And the piece that we've been talking about, his most recent piece that I pulled up, caught my attention, is called Lord Kennedy. It was posted 6/13/08 by John Tabin. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay tuned.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
There are only about 6 minutes left of this segment of Your Turn, the program I've dubbed Meaning Nonsense with Common Sense. John, I want to digress just for a second. We're talking with John Tabin. He's contributing editor to the American Spectator magazine. And you write and follow the U.S. Supreme Court in the American Spectator magazine, spectator.org. But a couple minutes ago, we were talking about the 1995 bombing of the U.S. the World Trade Center, and how, you know, they had basically decided at that time that, you know, it opened up a lot of information that got out into the public, including information about The use of cell phones by the terrorists. Something else that I thought you might find of interest, and the listeners as well. Can you believe this? A federal court recently ruled that the Port Authority, which owned the World Trade Center, was 68% at fault for the bombings in 1995. I mean, I was stunned by that ridiculous decision. That puts them more culpable than the terrorists who actually did the bombing.
I'm actually not familiar with that decision, so I don't feel qualified to comment.
No, but it's stunning is what it is. It's ridiculous. It falls under the category of ridiculous and frivolous. I do want to ask your opinion. There's been a lot written lately about the Supreme Court and the ages of some of the members of the Supreme Court. And since you follow the Supreme Court, could you please, I pulled out my crystal ball and called you a contributing editor. Will you pull yours out and let us know? What do you think is going to happen? Are we going to have any announcements this summer? Anyone going to retire?
Probably not this summer. The judges most likely to retire next are John Paul Stevens and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They're both committed liberals, and I don't think either of them plan on leaving while there's a Republican in the White House if they can possibly help it. And justices try to avoid retiring during election years in any case. So no, not this term, but it will be an important issue for voters to think about.
And when they're thinking about that, I mean, I received a recent email that said, McCain says judges should exhibit restraint and humility. Obama says he'll appoint judges who have empathy. What should folks be thinking about as they go? And when you look at, I mean, this is, you know, besides the war in Iraq and a whole host of other issues, Supreme Court is probably going to be one of the biggest issues on the plate for the next president. Am I right?
Probably. Yeah. Well, I mean, go back to the decision we started talking about, the Gitmo decision from last week. This was a 5-4 decision, and the reason I called my article Lord Kennedy is because Anthony Kennedy is the swing justice, and that makes him one of the most powerful men in America. And he wrote this opinion. He was joined by the 4 liberals. He's written opinions where he's been joined by the 4 conservatives. And the effect of this decision is to move these enemy combatant cases into the Article III courts from the military tribunal system. In other words, to move them into the system that Anthony Kennedy sits at the top of.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very powerful man, and in many ways a very sloppy thinker. Now, if Stevens and Ginsburg retire under a Democratic president and they're replaced with liberals, then Kennedy remains the swing voter. He remains powerful. We remain kind of having to guess at what his mood is in the morning. If they're replaced with conservatives or even with more moderate justices, then the balance of the court will be different, and that's the issue to think about.
That's a lot for folks to be thinking about. John, tell us what you've been thinking about lately. What's your next story about in the American Spectator magazine?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm actually headed off on vacation this week. So, although if the Heller case does come down, I might interrupt it for that. But yeah, no, I follow some horse race politics. I follow, in addition to doing the court, I occasionally do some foreign policy stuff, but no, I don't have planned ahead because this is actually an off week for me.
Okay, good. Well, enjoy your break very much. We enjoyed talking with you today. Thanks so much, and we'll look for more stuff. Again, we've been talking with John Tabin. He's a contributing reporter to the American Spectator magazine. We've been talking most particularly about a piece that he put up there last week. It's called the end of last week. It's called
Friday.
Lord Kennedy by John Tabin in the American Spectator. That's spectator.org. John, again, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. All right, that's it for this version of Your Turn, the program I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. I'll be back again in the seat in 2 weeks. I do know already one of my guests will be Neil Bortz. He has a brand new book out. Perhaps you've heard him talk about it right here on 1330 AM WEBY. I know he's on this station every single day that he's on the air. And he will be joining us for Your Turn. Will you have an opportunity to call in, talk with him about his book and anything else that's on your mind? He will be my first guest. I believe I've got him scheduled at the 4 o'clock hour on June the 30th. If I can do my math right, that would be 2 weeks from today. June the 30th, he will be joining us. Another real exciting book you may want to pick up if you have a chance. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact title. I'll have it with me on the 30th, but there's a brand new book out about the UFO situation in South Santa Rosa County, most particularly in Gulf Breeze, and you'll probably enjoy talking with the author about that book. He's coming on the end of July, actually a month from now. He was headed out on vacation, and that gives me a little bit of time to read the book, which he is sending to me. So we've got a couple of book authors lined up, and hopefully you will tune in again in 2 weeks when I am back on the program. One last time, I want to let you know how, if you happen to miss one of the interviews that we conduct here on 1330 AM WEBY, how you can pull it up. If you go to my organization's website, that's the Center for Individual Freedom, on the web at www.cfif.org. When you're on the website, there's a little banner that runs across that talks about Freedom Cast, and you can pull up right there the different interviews that we host here on 1330 AM WEBY. You can listen to the interviews. We also will send it to you. We'll let you know which interview is being posted that week. We will send that to you if you sign up for our free Lunchtime Liberty Update. There are a whole series of other pieces. In fact, I write the weekly one on the Court Jester, which just highlights some of the ridiculous and frivolous lawsuits that are happening in our country. Thanks so much. I'll be back in 2 weeks.